Do you have your song sheet? This is your reminder here again that we're singing out of the song sheet in the bulletin. So that's where the hymns are. So if you need a bulletin, should be some on either side on the table, and just jump up and get that. We have some more. It looks like we're a little low over there, so some on the other side there. But so just a reminder about that. All right, we're here to worship the Lord. We're going to begin with our singing together. So let's stand and sing, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain," number 44.
Thank you.
Again, welcome to everyone that's here today. It's good to see each of you here. And it really means a lot for you to come out to church, especially in the days in which we are living. So thank you so much for coming. And also, thank you for listening to this service. Some of you are listening online or by CD. And thank you for listening to our service. That also means a lot. And there's a lot of other Christian programming that's out there that you could be listening to and you could be benefiting from, and perhaps you are, but you're choosing to listen to this service. Why? Because hopefully you care about this church, Morrow Bible Church, this body of believers. And so you're taking the time to worship at another time, perhaps. So thank you very much. I also want to thank Mrs. Ogden for playing the piano this morning. The Margraffs are away today, taking a vacation, and so appreciate Mrs. Ogden stepping in for Ron today. And also want to say thanks to Scott Lanham for running the sound, so that those of you who are listening later on can hopefully do that. Also, it's important here so you can hear. And we're trying to develop a sound booth crew so we can share some of that responsibility. So Josh Ray is back there today trying to learn some of that knowledge. So we appreciate that as well. And we're doing some training, hopefully over the next weeks, months, to allow more people to know how to do that. And so we appreciate those that are taking that time to do that. I want to invite you to come out to our evening service tonight. You're here today, so obviously you're not too scared to come out to church, so invite you back tonight and be here with us as we take some time to encourage one another. We are to consider one another and provoke unto love and good works and encourage one another. And I tell you what, it's an encouragement to me just to see you come. And I know that's an encouragement to the rest of you too. And that's just one way that you can encourage other believers, is by coming out. And of course, there's more ways too. We have testimony time, and that's important as well, just to be able to encourage one another. So invite you out tonight for the evening service at 6:30. We are still trying to reach our community with the gospel packets that we had made up for the fair booth. And looks like somebody took my gospel packet I had here. So they're out there in a box. And we had packed them up in a package to be COVID-proof and everything. And so they're there. It's a tract called Who America Needs and a booklet of the Gospel of John. And so we had 700 of those that we packed up. We're trying to get them out and just encourage you to take some of those. But we're also, Wednesday nights, we're going out in our church community, giving them out door to door. And we've been doing that, planning to do that again this Wednesday night at 6:30. There's still more people out there. We haven't got them all yet. So we're going to do that, Lord willing, on Wednesday night. Tomorrow is the deadline to register to vote. So I'll say again, if you're not registered, please do that, and you're eligible. That's an important right that you have as a citizen to do that. So tomorrow's the deadline. Next Tuesday is the ladies' meeting, not this coming Tuesday, but a week from Tuesday. Women's Fellowship is going to meet here at the church at 7 o'clock Tuesday night. My wife is planning to share a lesson. It's what she shared at the women's retreat when she spoke. She's going to share at least some of that, I think, with the ladies as they come to next Tuesday night. Do we have any cowboys or cowgirls here? If so, we're going to try to round them up on October the 30th. We're going to be having a Friday night roundup. All right, that's for all ages of cowpokes. And it's going to be here at the church. And we're going to be having some vittles and fellowship October the 30th. So get your hat and your boots and come on out on October the 30th at your own risk. All right. I hope you understand that. We may have to be inside a little bit. I know not everyone's comfortable with that, but some are. Those that are, we'll invite you out. All right, October the 30th. Again, I hope you'll take some of the Who America Needs tracks. Again, this is a track that is geared for this election season, and this is the time to use it. So take some of those, take 5 or 10, give them out to your neighbors, coworkers, whoever you think might read them. And again, they're packed with the Gospel of John. Of course, Who America Needs? The answer to that is Jesus Christ. And the Gospel of John tells all about Jesus Christ. And so we're trying to get those out. Again, let me say, we understand that not everyone is able to come out to church, and we really do miss those that haven't been able to be here. We are thinking about you, and we don't like the fact that we can't gather all together, but let me say to all of you, those that are here, those that aren't here, perhaps that are listening, do your best to stay in touch, okay? And we do have a church directory that is somewhat updated. Of course, as soon as you print it, it's out of date, but at least, you know, it's got some updates there. There's some in the foyer. If you don't have one, pick one up. If there's only a few left, take them anyway, because we can print more as we need them. And so just take it. And there's also a PDF copy that's available on the members page. If you'd rather have the copy on your computer, and just do your best to stay in touch with one another, whether you can come to church or not. We still need to try to do that. So just to encourage you that way. Upcoming anniversaries this week. The Scheiderer's anniversary is October the 6th, so we want to wish them a happy anniversary this week, and look forward to seeing them. All right, would there be any prayer requests that you would have here? You'd like to share any prayer requests? Yes. Okay, unspoken for Barb. Anyone else? No, we were praying for the girl that was killed last week. That is a niece of the neighbors who live here behind the church, the Statons. And she was 17 years old. She was a believer, her family has told me. And she's also the granddaughter of the Maggards. If some of you may remember them, who used to come here, Pam Maggard. Leah Staton is the girl that was killed. She's the granddaughter of the Maggards as well. So I'll just pray for the family, the Staton family. And also today is a day of prayer for our president and first lady. That's declared by our governor. So we always pray for them, but especially praying for them as they were tested positive for COVID. So just pray for our president. Anybody else? Other prayer requests here this morning? All right. Well, let's take our song sheet again, and let's turn to the next song, Amazing Grace. Let's sing Amazing Grace together, 236. Amazing Grace.
Amen.
going to be in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, reading the last verses of this chapter, verses 48 through 59 for our scripture reading. Text is also printed on the back of the bulletin if you need that. Let's stand together in honor to God's word as we read John chapter 8, reading responsively verses 48 through 59. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. Thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Then said the Jews unto him, How long have I kept you in
Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Then he said to the man's sons, He asked him, But Jesus said himself, When the hour was come, the one who did remiss the man, he said,
May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word. You may be seated. Bow our heads as we look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we come to you to honor you, to worship you this morning. We thank you for this day of life that you've given us, this opportunity to come and worship. We thank you for enabling us to come to you by sending your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. That we may have a relationship with you. And we pray that that relationship would be right. We pray that you would bring conviction upon those who don't have a relationship with you through Christ. Show them the way. Father, we come as your children to ask for your guidance, for your help. We pray that you would use this service to draw us closer to yourself. We pray that we would honor you from our hearts, worship in spirit and truth this morning. Father, we think of those who are not able to join with us today, and we remember them. We pray for their health and for their safety. Think of others who may be traveling. Give safety to them. And Father, we pray that you would meet the needs of our church here, the spiritual needs especially, that you'd use the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to encourage us and to convict us and to grow us to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for raising it up. We thank you for sustaining it and providing for it. We pray for continued direction and wisdom in the days ahead. Help us to be a body of believers that cares for one another, and that serves one another, serves you, reaches out. And we pray, Lord, for our leadership. We think of our elders. Help us. Give us wisdom as we minister to the flock here. Our Father, we come to you to worship you with our giving today. And we bring our tithes and offerings to you and ask for your blessing upon them. We pray that they'd be given with a true spirit of thankfulness and gratitude towards you, towards all that you've done. And so we pray that you take these offerings, use them for your honor and glory today. Our Father, we think of our missionaries today, and we pray for them as they navigate these changing times, all across the world, these things have happened. And so we pray that the gospel would go forth through their efforts. We pray that people would be saved, that the word of God would continue to go forth. Our Father, we pray today especially for our president. We pray for him and his healing, his physical healing, for his wife, for others also around him who are sick, and we pray that you would strengthen him. We pray for his salvation. We don't know if he's a true believer or not, but we pray, Lord, that he would come to genuine faith in Jesus Christ. And so we pray for wisdom for him. We pray that we might have peace in this country. We are concerned at many of the things that we see, the violence, things that are happening. And we pray for the election coming up just a month away. And we pray for a good process that would take place there, a good result as well. And we pray, Lord, for our local officials, our governor and those who serve around him. And we pray for the congressmen and women, both on the state level and the national level. We think of our law enforcement especially, even those in our congregation who have relatives that are serving as police and in the sheriff's departments. And we pray for their protection. We thank you for what they do. Think of our military. We lift them up to you today as well and ask for their safety. We pray for the gospel to spread among all these personnel. And we ask you for that here today. We thank you again for this time we have to come and worship you. We pray that this would be pleasing in your sight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to take your song sheet again now and turn to the next song, which is The Old Rugged Cross. We'll sing The Old Rugged Cross together, number 113. Let's stand as we sing The Old Rugged Cross.
seated.
I invite you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 8 again. John chapter 8. As we've been in the Gospel of John here on Sunday mornings, we've seen in various chapters how Jesus interacts with his enemies. And in John chapter 8, almost the entire chapter is a discussion, an argument, perhaps, on Jesus' enemies' part. Discussion with Jesus. And we see Jesus responding to their questions, smart remarks, criticisms, comments. And Jesus, all the way through, is reaching out to them. He is offering them another opportunity to recognize and to know who he is and what he has done. And here, as we come to the close of John chapter 8, we continue this discussion with Jesus' enemies and see how they talk to him. Jesus has just pointed out to them their real spiritual father. He said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." And last time we looked at that ancestry test that Jesus gave to them. And he pointed out to them their real spiritual ancestry. It was not Abraham. It was not God. The devil still had control over their lives and was influencing them with his lies. And now we come to this next section here in verses 48 through 59. And we see, we already know that these men that Jesus is talking to have something wrong with them. They're broken. They think they have a relationship with God, but in fact, they do not. They're very far from God. And yet, as we see in these closing verses, Jesus offers them an opportunity to fix that broken relationship. And he offers you that same opportunity as we see these verses. I want you to see the two main issues that his enemies have, the two main issues that people have today. And if they will acknowledge these things and admit their need, they can be right with God. You can be right with God if you will acknowledge the truth of what Jesus is saying. We see, first of all, that Jesus addresses the issue of honoring God. And then secondly, the main issue of knowing God. These were two problem areas that Jesus' enemies had. The two problem areas that people have today. Notice what Jesus says, or notice what his enemies say in verse 48. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" We see all their arguments have failed, and so they resort to name-calling and insults. And the worst thing they could think of to call Jesus was a Samaritan. They didn't think very well, very highly of Samaritans. And so they think that Jesus is a Samaritan. They're putting him down and hast a devil. They've done that before. They've accused Jesus of being demon-possessed. They're going to do it again. They think he's crazy. He's motivated by the devil. How does Jesus respond? Verse 49. Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." The issue of honoring God, we need to start with recognizing the sin of dishonoring God. That's what Jesus was pointing out to these people. Notice verse 49. Again, he says, "I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me." He puts this in terms of honoring and dishonoring. That's the main issue here. What does that word mean? What does it mean to honor? Well, it means to fix a value or a price on something. To fix a value or a price on something. A couple weeks ago, we decided that it was time for one of our vehicles to be gotten rid of. Just came to the point where it was, We didn't want to put any more money into it. I looked under it one day and I was shocked at the rust that was all throughout it. And I thought, you know what? It's not worth it anymore. And it needed more work done. And I said, we've got to do something with it. So we cleaned it all up, put it out in the front yard for sale, did some research, and I assigned a value to it. I assigned a price to it based on the Blue Book value and the condition. It still had some life, maybe for somebody else, and I put it up for sale. A couple days went by. I got one person that came to look at it. They didn't offer anything. And then I got another couple that came, and they took it for a test drive, and they came back. They looked at all the problems. They pointed out some more problems it had. Yeah, I know about that. And they came to the point where they said, I will give you this amount of money. And I was shocked. I was amazed. And I couldn't understand how they could assign a value that was so different than the value that I assigned it. I said, I'll take it. They dishonored my vehicle. The Bible says that Judas did that literally to Jesus in Matthew 27:9. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued. Again, that's the same word that's used here for honor. Whom they of the children of Israel did value. Of course, that was dishonoring to Jesus. It was a very low price. But God demands that we put a very high price on Jesus. An infinitely high price. That we honor him. How much is God worth to you? What estimate do you give of him? Jesus taught back in John chapter 5 that God intends for an equal honor to be given to Jesus as that is given to God. John 5:22, it says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. See, God intends here that Jesus be honored. He be assigned a value in your heart that is the same as God the Father. And these people Jesus was talking to, their value that they assigned to Jesus was much different than the value they assigned to God. He said, you dishonor me. That's your problem. There's other things that are higher in value than what you value, the value you put upon Jesus Christ. And God wants there to be a genuine honoring. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus rebuked some, perhaps some of these very same people, for only an honor of the mouth and the lips, but not of the heart. In Matthew 15:7, he said, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See, Jesus could see that this honor was only skin deep. It was only an outward honor that they pretended that they had, but it really wasn't in their heart. God wants there to be an honor for God that is in your heart. Not just what you do on the outside and things you do to try to impress other people, but really in your heart. You're honoring God. You're honoring Jesus. That's the main issue. Jesus doesn't retaliate here to them. They're calling him names. But he's not concerned about that. He's concerned about what God thinks of him. He knows God is going to take care of it. God is the one who will take care of things. There is one that seeketh and judgeth, verse 50 says. And then we come to verse 51. I believe this is a solution that's given for the sin of dishonoring God. Here's the solution. We've got to recognize the problem, but here is the solution. Verse 51. He reaches out to his enemies again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. There's the solution. That's the solution to the problem. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Notice the condition to this solution here. It is to keep Jesus' word. That word keep comes from a word that refers to a warden or a guard. And that's what it means. It means to guard. A man that does this to Jesus' saying or Jesus' word, he, first of all, believes that word. He believes that word. The man who keeps his saying, his word, he accepts it. He listens to it. He believes it. And he obeys it. And he practices it. Because that person cares so much about it, they guard it. That's the attitude that they have towards Jesus' word, towards the Bible. This week at school, my daughter came home and she showed me her sticker chart that she had gotten. This one of the classroom, whatever you call them, management things. You know, there's good things that happen, good behavior, you get the sticker on your chart. If you fill up that chart, you get to pick a prize out of the prize box. And so she had gotten to pick a prize, and she came home, she showed me that chart, and she wanted to tell me, this is Anna I'm talking about, she wanted to tell me what the prize was. She didn't want anybody else to tell me. She wanted to tell me what the prize was. And I said, okay, go get it. And she knew right where it was. She ran and she got that prize out of her book bag, and she came and she brought it to me and she showed it to me. You know what it was? It was a $100 bill. $100 bill eraser. Okay? It was a precious treasure. A $100 bill eraser. And at least for that day anyway, that was guarded by Anna. She kept it. And she knew right where it was. She didn't want anybody else to even talk about it. It was being guarded. And that's the idea of this word keep here. It means to care deeply about it, to guard it. And the person who does that to Jesus' word, yes, they believe it, but they practice it and they care about it and they protect it. That person shall never see death. That's the attitude they have towards Jesus' word. Jesus explained that in other passages in a positive way. He spoke of eternal life. John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Of course, that doesn't mean that we're never going to die physically. We will die if the Lord does not return first. We will feel pain and suffering in our bodies, but for the man who keeps Jesus' word, as Jesus is talking about here, they will not see death. The Bible talks about the second death in Revelation 21:8, which is a place of punishment. It says there, the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, there's a way of escape. Jesus is explaining that to his enemies, the people that are against him, and he offers them the solution for their dishonor of God, their dishonor of Jesus, and it is to keep Jesus' word. And if they do that, they will never experience the second death. We'll never see that place of punishment. That's the promise here. Jesus said in John 11 unto the sisters of Lazarus who had just died, he revealed himself clearly to them. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Friday afternoon, I had the opportunity to do a burial service for somebody in the community here. It was kind of, I was a substitute for somebody else who was supposed to be there and they couldn't be there. And so they asked if I could come up and do the burial service. The funeral had already taken place, but the family really wanted to have a burial. And so I said, yes, of course. And so it was up there at Caledonia Cemetery. And so I drove up there. And, you know, it's always a little difficult when you don't know the deceased at all. And I knew nothing about her. And so I didn't really speak about her. I spoke to the people that were there. And I talked to them about resurrection. I talked to them about how we can have that resurrection. And the people appreciated it, it seems. The family there is 25 or 30 people there. But while I was there, talked to the funeral director, who was also a stand-in from the person who was supposed to be there. And I found out that, I found out he was also the mayor of Mount Gilead. And he lives there in Mount Gilead, and he just got elected as mayor. And his name's Jamie Brucker. He's a younger guy, and as we were talking, he told me that his father had actually just passed away, and this just last month. His father was an architect in Mount Gilead, James Brucker, and he was a man, even in his last days, he was taking on projects for different churches and ministries. He even took on a project for Peniel Bible Camp. And Jamie, his son, is now trying to finish those projects up that his father had taken on. But he said his father didn't want to quit. He wanted to keep on doing what he was doing. He had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer last September. And he said that the Lord gave his dad exactly 1 year from the day of his diagnosis with cancer. And I think maybe one more day, 366 days, he said, and he passed. But Jamie was telling me about his dad, and he said, Dad was ready. He said, Dad was ready to go. This was a man that had served various churches. He was a lay minister, and he would go around and speak in different churches. And he felt that his dad was right with the Lord, and he said when that time came, just a few days, he started calling in his family and his friends. He wanted to talk to them one more time, and the death happened very quickly, and he passed on. You know, there's such a difference when it comes to the passing of a believer and the passing of an unbeliever, or somebody that we really don't know what their spiritual state is. There's such a difference. You know, when you come to a funeral or a memorial service for somebody who was a true believer and they had a testimony of faith in Christ, of living as this verse says, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. You come to that time of death and there's such confidence that you have. You know, based on the authority of God's word, that that individual, their soul, is with God. Their body is here, but their soul is with the Lord. I wonder this morning, how will it be for you? How will it be for your family when it comes to the time when they bury you? Will they know your testimony? Will they know your status, your spiritual state? Or will they be unsure? We don't know. We only hope. God's Word, Jesus here, through God's Word, is giving us the way that we can be prepared for this. We're all going to face it, and we can be prepared now. How you respond to Jesus' Word? Do you keep it, or do you not keep it? We see the reaction to this solution here in verse 52. It's not a good reaction, but notice the reaction by the Jews. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom makest thou thyself? All right, again, we see the argument on the part of the Jews. They are interpreting death here as only something physical. They're not at all thinking about the other dimension to death. Abraham and the prophets have all died, they said. You know, Jesus had talked to them before about eternal life. This isn't the first time he had said these things to them. They should have thought about the fact that he's speaking about something other than physical death here. Notice the questions they say here in verse 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? What's the answer to that question? Yes, he is greater. Of course, they don't acknowledge that, but it's ironic that John records this for us because we know that truly Jesus is greater than that. Honoring God, that's the issue these Jews needed to deal with. They were blind to the truth. Perhaps there's people here today that are blind to the truth. They don't acknowledge the truth of Jesus Christ. They don't honor Jesus in the same way that they honor God or in the same way that they honor something else in their life, that value that they have on another person or on a possession that they have is so much greater than the value that they ought to have on Jesus. That's the issue that people have today. And then there's a second issue that Jesus deals with here, not only honoring God, but the issue of knowing God. Jesus deals with that here, verse 54. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Again, this issue begins with the need to recognize the problem of not knowing God. Jesus very clearly and directly tells these individuals, these Jews, that they actually do not know God. Notice verse 55. "Yet ye have not known him." Imagine the shock value of that statement. Jesus is talking to religious leaders here. Jesus is talking about people that their whole lives, they probably thought they knew God and they were doing everything right. But Jesus looks at them and says, "You do not know him. You don't know God." Jesus rather knows God. But these individuals, they have no true knowledge of God. And so how can this issue be addressed? Well, it comes down to accepting who Jesus really is. That's how you know God. You recognize who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Well, notice how Jesus reveals himself here. First of all, in verses 56 and 57, Jesus reveals himself as the object of Abraham's rejoicing. Notice verse 56. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." The Jews were all big fans of Abraham. We've seen Abraham come up, the subject of Abraham. They thought Abraham was their father. He was their hero. But Jesus says, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." He, Jesus, is the object of Abraham's rejoicing. The word rejoiced here is a very strong word. It means to leap for joy. To have great joy and delight, to exalt. And that rejoicing is in my day, Jesus says. Seems to mean the coming of Jesus and his work. You say, well, when did Abraham do that rejoicing? You know, there's some people that believe that Abraham was doing it in heaven. And he was rejoicing to see all this take place there while Jesus was ministering. But you notice here that the word is in past tense in verse 56. It says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced," past tense. Something that happened in the past, "to see my day." When did Abraham do this rejoicing? Well, You know, there's one major event in Abraham's life that was a source of great joy. You know what that was? So you think about Abraham's life, it was the birth of his son Isaac. You know, there was a lot of rejoicing that happened when Isaac was born. In Genesis 21, it talks about how Sarah reacted after Isaac was born, and she said, "God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." She said, "Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age." The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. You know, the birth of Isaac, the long-expected son, was a cause of great rejoicing. In fact, his name means laughter. Whether it was in those moments or in the general attitude of Abraham's life, the Bible teaches us here that there was a joyful expectancy for the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, it wasn't merely that Abraham was rejoicing that he had a son, but he saw in Isaac and in the birth of Isaac the plan of God being worked out, ultimately ending in the birth of Jesus Christ, the coming of Christ. Perhaps he was thinking of the fulfillment of that promise that God made to Abraham, that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The writer of Hebrews mentions Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, and he summarizes his attitude and others in verse 13, where it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." You know, Abraham's joy in the day of Christ was a joy that was an expectancy very far off. Abraham looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promise. And Jesus says here, that was Jesus. That is Jesus. Abraham rejoiced in expectancy in Jesus' day, and he saw it and was glad. He is the object of Abraham's rejoicing. That was something that these Jews needed to accept, that Jesus was the promised one of God. Something we must accept as well. But there's something else that these people needed to learn, that we need to know as well if we're going to know God. Something about Jesus. Verse 57 through the end here. "Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" They're looking at Jesus, and remember, Jesus was in his early 30s when he was ministering. He was not even 50 years old yet, a young man. And he's saying that he has seen Abraham. Well, then Jesus reveals in verse 58, "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Notice Jesus' very clear claim here. He said he was before Abraham. But it was more than that. He did not say, "Before Abraham was, I was." That would mean just that he was maybe born before Abraham and he was there before him in a sense. That's not how Jesus put it here. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am. I am." Before Abraham was, I am. Abraham was, Jesus rather, existed eternally in the present before Abraham. He reveals himself as the eternal God here. Of course, we remember the I am statement going back to Exodus chapter 3 with the incident there of Moses at the burning bush and God coming to him and saying to him, "I am." You know, it's no coincidence that Jesus makes that same claim here. Before Abraham was, I am. And then we see how the Jews took that, verse 59. "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." What are we to know about Jesus if we're going to know God? Well, Jesus wants us to know that he was the object of Abraham's rejoicing, And even more than that, He is the eternal God. He's the eternal God, Jesus. That's how these Jews must recognize Him if they are going to know God truly. And that's how we must as well. Whenever our family goes out to Kansas, usually once a year, to visit my wife's family, we found that the halfway point for us is right around Hannibal, Missouri. And we've stayed in Hannibal once or twice. Sometimes we stay before that, sometimes a little after that. But that's about the halfway point. And of course, you might know that Hannibal, Missouri is the hometown of one of the most famous American authors here in this country, and that is Mark Twain. That was his hometown where he grew up. Samuel Clemens, of course, that's his real name. And there in Hannibal is a little tourist area where Mark Twain's actual home is preserved. And you can go in and look at it, and you can imagine how it compares to what Twain wrote about in his books. But I read a incident of another author who wrote about being there in Hannibal, and he wrote of his disappointment when he visited that site. And he talked about how he would think about the descriptions in Twain's books, and it just didn't measure up. He writes this: the house was, quote, a trim, whitewashed house with green shutters set incongruously in the middle of downtown. It cost $2 to walk around the site. He says he found it a disappointment. It purported to be a faithful reproduction of the original interiors, but there were wires and water sprinklers clumsily evident in every room. I doubt very much that young Samuel Clemens' bedroom had Armstrong vinyl on the floor, or that his sister's bedroom had a plywood partition in it. And then he talks about another incident that happened when he was there at the site. He said, you look through the house there, and at each window there's a recorded message telling about each room. As he proceeded from window to window, he asked another tourist that was there, what do you think of it? The friendly stranger replied, oh, I think it's great. I come here whenever I'm in Hannibal, 2-3 times a year. Sometimes I go out of my way to come here. Dumbfounded, the man replied, really? Yes, the stranger said. I must have been here 20-30 times by now. This is a real shrine, you know. And the man said, would you say the house is just like Twain described it in his books? The other tourist who had been there so many times looked at him and said, you know, I don't know. I've never read the books. You know, at best, the men here that Jesus speaks to were satisfied with that superficial approach. They had all the important sites all around them. They had the temple. They had all the traditions. But Jesus looks at them and tells them that they did not know God. They had ignored the book that was standing there in front of them. Jesus, the Word of God, the living Word. They did not truly know God. It's the same with people today. You know, there's so many people who have done all the important things when it comes to religion. They may come to church from time to time. Have done the outward things of religion. They're very familiar with all those things. Maybe they've done them years and years. But maybe they've never read God's book. Maybe they'd never come to see Jesus and to recognize Him and to know God through Him. There's many people like that. And this morning, as we look at God's Word, I wonder if you will admit the problems that you may see in your life. Maybe you have a broken relationship with God. It was never fixed to begin with. What do you need to do about that? Jesus tells us here, number one, honor God. And you do that by honoring Jesus Christ. Recognize how important He is. And then number two, know God. and know God by accepting who Jesus truly is. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending Jesus Christ into the world. We thank you for all that he's done. We thank you for who he is, the eternal God that Abraham rejoiced in, the promised one of God. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to honor you by honoring your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to see the infinite value that he displays to us. Our Father, we pray for those who perhaps have a broken relationship. We pray that you'd help them to see the provision that's been made for them to fix that. And we thank you so much for what you've done in our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our song sheet again and we'll turn to the next song there, which is Only Trust Him. Number 252, Only Trust Him, and we'll stand as we sing. 252.